Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast, hosted by Jonathan Moody and Donnie Sturgis.
Hello, hello. This is Alfred Crane, the producer of Hollywood Boulevard podcast, along with Jonathan and Donnie.
Hey,
everybody.
And it's apropos, I guess. I was just on vacation for a couple weeks, and I did happen to go to Israel for 10 days on the pilgrimage. And tonight we're talking about the Israeli production company Canon Films.
Oh, yeah.
And we had talked about a Canon film earlier this season on Masters of the Universe. And then we had all discussed a documentary y'all should check out on Netflix called Electric Boogaloo, The Wild Story of Canon Films. And for me, nothing says 80s like a Canon action film. They're dated yet fun and inspiring for me as a growing kid, growing up in the age of HBO and VHS in the 80s, where things were semi-limited. I did see some movies, a can of movies in the theater. I'm Missing in Action with my dad, Invaders from Mars, and New Market North Shopping Center when malls used to have theaters. And I liken Canon as an action gateway, much like Hong Kong did for Kung Fu in the 70s. Golden and Globus were Israelis who formed the company. They loved making films, and boy, did they make films. They made a lot of films. You look at their filmography, it went from everything from Late Night Friday, Skinemax Fair, the mixing in action and sci-fi to create the legendary company, solidifying and launching careers of Chuck Norris, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Sho Kasugi, Michael Dudikoff, catching Charles Bronson in his heyday, rapping, Electric Boogaloo. Before Step Up, you had Electric Boogaloo and Breakin'. And this is the Canon show. And for me, the Canon logo is up there with the 20th Century Fox fanfare. You knew what you were getting into. When 20th Century Fox comes up, I think Star Wars. When the Canon Group logo comes up, I think I'm going to be in for some schlocky action. So when I think of Canon, I think of those actors I had mentioned. My dad told me when he was stationed at Osan Air Force Base in Korea in the early 80s, one of the wings of the gym was named after Chuck Norris because he was stationed there in the 70s, I believe.
Nice.
And learned a lot of his taekwondo there. And some of my earliest memories, of all things, they did goofy comedies, too. One of them was called Going Bananas. It had Dom DeLuise, the guy from Tony Danza, and it was this movie with apes. It was silly, and they had orangutans from one of the orangutans from Every Which Way But Loose. And I remember also loving that. It was just a stupid comedy movie, but as a kid, stupid comedies are up there, and I need to find that one again. And Treasure of the Four Crowns was an Indiana Jones ripoff filmed in Wonder Vision 3D. I saw that on HBO, and it is terrible. But I remember as a kid, this guy's head is twisting and spinning around, and I'm like, there's something here. It stinks, but it's entertaining mildly. But before I get into some of my favorite Canon films and some of the stories behind their impacts on me, I'd like to open it up. What do y'all think of when you think of Canon films? We'll go with Donnie.
Well, when I think of Canon, the first thing I think of is Chuck Norris. Like, Chuck Norris is probably the most prominent mainstream name to come out of the Canon group, because he's the one I think that had the most success. I mean, he pretty much became almost synonymous with Canon for a while there. I mean, between Invasion USA and the Delta Force films and the Missing in Action films, And I was looking it up. Apparently, the Canon even produced the Walker Texas Ranger series.
I saw that when I was looking it up.
So, I mean, you were right. Like, they're almost singularly responsible for Chuck Norris's, like modern-day, like, popularity just on that stuff alone. But I would say that's probably when I think of Canon, I definitely think of Chuck Norris first. Even though there's tons of other movies that I like by Canon. And yeah, I wanted to add a point to your comment about how Canon is very, you know, very much like the 20th Century Fox logo. Like, Canon is the 20th Century Fox of like the VHS era. Like, in that regard, like, because like you said, like, if 9 times out of 10, when anybody went out during the heyday of going out to movie rental places and like supermarkets that had rental sections and stuff, you were either going to get, like, especially in my case, we were either going to get a horror film or we were going to get an action film or a sci-fi film. And in the latter two, it was probably going to be from something from Canon, most likely.
Right.
So Canon is very much synonymous with the VHS era. Like you said, there were some theatrical releases, but man, when you think of Canon, you think of VHS. Like, you think of like grabbing that tape that has a Canon logo on it, popping that sucker in, and that logo comes up. It's very much, like you said, very much like the way the 20th Century Fox logo is, as far as like in our consciousness. So I think I'm going to end my comment or my reply there.
Cool. Thanks, Don. Good point. Jonathan.
Oops. Did you guys say something?
Yeah, ask him, what do you think of when you think of Canon movies?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously I think Chuck Norris a little bit. But I also think, I definitely think, like, Sylvester Stallone style stuff. Like, I remember the first Canon movie I ever watched on TV was No Holds Barred.
Wow.
I think of that. You know, which is not, I think it was the No Holds Barred. It was, what's the other one? Over the Top. That's what I was thinking of. The arm wrestling movie.
That's the one.
That is just hilarious. Today I think how bad it is or whatever in a way, like how goofy and over the top it is. But then, you know, it, you know, right? You know, it fits its title. But then, you know, I look at the movie back when I was a kid, and I just thought it was awesome. You know, it was perfect, you know, kind of fun. It was a sports movie in a way. Who can make a sports movie out of arm wrestling? Sylvester Stallone. You know, like, I guess. So that's what I think of when I think of Canon film.
I think his brother Frank Stallone probably did the music for that one. He did kind of some music for some of his movies back then. But I'll have to look that up. So one of the big things, like, they had a lot of movies that, like, were just like when I was a kid, they're like totally like, wow, I mean, I'm a teenager, my buddies are over, we're watching movies, and the Revenge of the Ninja comes on. And this is like karate taken to the next level. I mean, ninjas are just, I mean, Canon Films, I believe they introduced ninjas back into U.S. action films and introduced us to ninjas. And it was just, the first one was kind of entertaining. Ninja had Franco Nero playing a ninja, which was decent. But Shokasugi, when he came on the screen, you know, he was a badass guy. And the movies were pretty good. The Revenge of the Ninja, Ninja 3, The Domination, kind of threw in a Flashdance-type story into this lady getting haunted by a ninja. But it was just cool. It's good action. I mean, it's totally BS. I mean, but when you're a teenager, it's like, well, this is like cool stuff. And but one of my favorite Chuck Norris films that came out was Firewalker. I mean, I love Missing in Action. That was totally cool. Firewalker had him and Louis Gossett Jr. And he actually plays kind of the opposite of himself. He kind of plays a bumbleist. And it's really fun to watch. I mean, it's just a different take on Chuck Norris. And of course, there's well, I'll get into the sci-fi stuff in a little bit. I want to open it up to Donnie and Jonathan again. Because he did Firewalker, Delta Force, Invasion USA. And one I liked was Hitman. That came in the early 90s. That was good. And then there's one I saw once, and I forgot all about it, called Hellbound. And I want to watch that again. And I kind of forgot what it was about. But across the board, he did a lot of stuff. And then we got introduced to Jean-Claude Van Damme, who I actually watched his stuff after, years after he kickboxed.
Right.
But those are just some of my thoughts and some of my favorites. And I'll open it up back up to y'all.
What are you looking for? Like, you want us to say our favorite canon movies or something?
Yeah. What are some of your movies, action movies that you remember of theirs that and if you don't have anything, I can talk some more. But I just wanted to open it up to y'all if you spawned any thoughts from my diatribe.
You go first, Donnie.
All right. you know, it's funny. I was, you know, looking up the canon movies today just to kind of, you know, brush up on them. And I realized there's a lot more canon movies that I saw and enjoyed than I thought I did. Movies that I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know that was a canon film. Like, oh, I didn't know that was a canon film. I was a huge fan of King Solomon's Mines and Alan Quartermain and the Lost Cities of Gold. Mm-hmm. Those used to pop up on cable all the time, and I mean, very cheap Indiana Jones knockoffs, but I loved them so much because they were funny. Sharon Stone's first film role, actually it was her first film role because she did Police Academy afterwards, I believe.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think the very first canon film that I ever saw was probably either Missing in Action 1 or 2 because my dad rented it and wanted to see it. And then after that, like, you know, Invasion USA. Also, a huge fan of, what was it called? Crap, I can't remember now. It's funny because, like I said, there's a lot of movies on the list that, like, haunt, like, well, they're not, like completely, like, some of them were like canon films, but they were like distributed by other companies. Like, for example, you know, like Superman IV, The Quest for Peace was a canon film, but it was, you know, distributed by Warner Brothers and so on and so forth. So, you know, that actually widens out the library quite a bit. Like Highlander is apparently technically a canon film, and I had no idea. I love Highlander. Like man, that was my Jenga jam back when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's awesome. When I saw that, I thought the same thing. I was like, whoa, I didn't realize that.
American Ninja, I remember seeing that. We rented that one. I've seen the first two Missing in Actions, didn't see the third one. I'd have to say, how can I forget Cobra? Cobra.
Yeah,
that was a theatrically released canon film with Sylvester Stallone. Great, fun film. Like, I love that movie to death. And I will also say that to this day, I still love Over the Top. It's not a great film at all by any stretch. I don't know what it is about it. I used to watch it all the time as a kid. I like it. I will defend it. it's got Robert Loggia in it as the bad guy. Like, it's so weird. It's such a strange. It's like Sylvester Stallone trying to recapture Rocky, but with arm wrestling. It's so weird. Like, it's such a strange. But I love that movie to death. In fact, there's a skit on Saturday Night Live that Sylvester Stallone did back when he was a host back in the 80s, where they made fun of Over the Top. Basically, Norm Macdonald plays this guy who gets in a car accident and he's close to death, and Sylvester Stallone runs over to save his life, and all the guy does the entire time is completely just trash all of the horrible movies that Sylvester Stallone has ever done. And he's like, and at one point he's like, yeah, over the top. Somebody actually thought, hey, what would go great with a custody battle? I know, arm wrestling. And so, like, I still love that movie to death. There's so many really great movies in the canon library that I really love, though. I definitely got into ninjas because of the canon films, Enter the Ninja and American Ninja. Like, all the kids in my neighborhood, we were all into ninjas at that point. So, but I mean, there's just so many to – just way too many to go into. Like, I a lot more than I thought I enjoyed, so – But I'd have to say, without a doubt, I think King Solomon's Mines and Alan Quatermain were probably two of my favorites out of that era. Not mm-hmm. counting Masters of the Universe, obviously, because Masters of the Universe, we already did an episode on that, and everybody knows how much I love that movie. So,
right.
In retrospect, I didn't like it when I was a kid, but I love it now. So, and I'll stop talking so that Jonathan can get a word in.
Okay. So, yeah, we did talk about Masters of the Universe, which I had never seen. I don't know. It's weird. Canon, I probably had seen a few of the films, you know, and I feel like I should just really explore the Canon library, and then we can have the films of Canon 2 Electric Boogaloo at some point.
Yeah.
Because we
yeah.
forgot to mention Break-In and Break-In 2 were part of, like, the thing that, like, launched canon.
Yep.
And it's so funny that those were the movies. Those weren't really action movies. They were, once again, they were their sort of sports thing, you know, because at that time that was the big thing was dancing, was break dancing was a big deal and everything. So much so that, like, a lot of movies put break dancing in their movies. Had nothing to do with it. If you watch, like, Thrashin', the 1980s skateboard movie,
yep.
they had breakdancing in it. And it was just like, where, why, huh, what, you know? But
yeah.
that was the thing back then. That was a big deal. And I think Canon really put breakdancing on the map at that particular point and also launched their stuff. They were able to do a lot of the – I think they took over the Death Wish series, and then they did Superman
yep.
4 – you know,
yep.
and very well known for their sequels, their trashy sequels that were not very good, but fun. You know, that's the beauty of it. I think that should be like the logo, the tagline for Canon Films. Not very good, but fun. You know,
yeah.
Awesome.
You know, they had a lot of money and they had talent. I don't know what happened with a lot of it because, you know, a lot of the films were not, you know, that big. But I know if you watch that documentary, and I urge everybody to go, I think it's on Netflix, go watch Electric Boogaloo, the untold story of Canon motion pictures. Check it out because it is amazing what they kind of went through, the two guys who created it, all the way up to what they've been up to. Like, you know, I guess they haven't really been doing anything now, you know, lately. And I think one of them's dead. So one of the Golden or Globus is passed away. So kind of sad. But aside from that, great stuff. I mean, I love every one of their, like, goofy action movies. Bloodsport being probably my favorite.
Nice.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. The two gentlemen that started it were Menaheim Golan and Yoram Globus, and they made quite a career. And you brought up a good point about the breakdancing, because I lived breakdancing. I mean, I was there. I was in the 7th and 8th grade in the mid-80s, and people were bringing their cardboard boxes to school. They had their zip-up pants, and it was a big deal. Then it just kind of faded away, but they captured it, like you said, in Break-In and Break-In 2. But they did a sequel, like Charles Bronson, Death Wish, to a movie called The Exterminator. It was aptly called Exterminator 2, and they had
right.
a breakdancing sequence in that movie. So they were really plugging that in. One of the things that I remember, my dad taking me to see Missing in Action, because that was about the time of the rise of the Vietnam War films, and Canon like many other film making studios were launching into that. We had Sylvester Stallone doing his Rambo films with Duralco. We had an Uncommon Valor with Gene Hackman. And then Cannon came in with Missing in Action, which had a great cast. It had Chuck Norris and Emmett Walsh as his sidekick. And it's just a really well done movie. I think it still holds up to today. And it has an iconic scene where he comes out of the water for 60. And has a great score, and it was a well-done film. And the other Vietnam War films that they did, which is pretty powerful, was the Hanoi Hilton. But nobody's seen that one. But, I can't remember the gentleman's name. He was in Law and Order. But it was a very powerful film. And they also did another one called Platoon Leader with Michael Dudikoff, the kind of like a Platoon ripoff, but that wasn't too bad. But it's hard to see Michael Dudikoff in a role outside of his American Ninja, though.
Sure.
And then a relatively unknown one about a relatively unknown war is called Field of Honor, and that had the gentleman from Heartbreak Ridge in it about the Korean War, and that was a pretty vivid and graphic film. But they got into some, like you were saying, dramas as well as their high-stakes action stuff. And that leads into one of my favorite canon films and sci-fi films of all time, which is Life Wars, which is a space vampire drama with a joint space shuttle op mission from the U.S. to the U.K. encounters. They go into Halley's Comet and come back, and something went wrong. And then they bring back Space Vampire. And it is a fantastic movie. The first time I saw it, I think it scared the crap out of me as a kid. And then I had to go back and watch it years later. And I'm like, this is so good. It's got a great British cast. It's got Patrick Stewart. The guy playing Carlson, he's an American character actor who's been in The X-Files and played him. Dwayne Barry in The X-Files, and he also played Charles Manson. But it's just a solid film. If you want to see a good sci-fi horror film that's relatively not so low budget, and you throw it horror and British people in it, I'm there. And,
sure.
And if y'all saw that one, I'd like your thoughts on that one too, because today that one still holds up and it gives me the willies.
You mean Life Force?
Yeah.
It's funny. I actually didn't see Life Force until probably about a year or so ago. Somehow I end up missing that one. I'm not sure how. But then Scream Factory, distributor, Shout Factory, Scream Factory. The Scream Factory division of Shout Factory got the license to distribute it on a special edition Blu-ray. So I was like, hey, I've never seen this. I need to pick it up. So I went ahead and I got it and I watched it. And I actually really enjoyed it. I will say it does kind of drag a little about halfway through the film. There is a point where it kind of drags a bit, but the first and the final and the first act and the third act are really solid. Like it's the first third and the last third of the film are good enough that they build up enough momentum that I'm okay with the center of the film dragging a bit before it gets to the climax. Because it almost feels like by they get halfway through the film, they're not quite sure where to go with it, and so they kind of meander a little bit, but then they kind of regain their footing and have a very solid third act. So despite the flaws, I really like Life Force a lot. It also helps that the main character is like fully nude the entire time. That doesn't hurt. I'll put it that way, but some of the special effects are great. The makeup effects are good. The zombie vampire effects that they use for the vampires that are basically like starving or whatever. Really great effects there. Like just a lot of good stuff. It's amazing what they were able to get away with on with the kind of budgets that Canon had back then. So. I actually really love Life Force. I will say that, despite its flaws, I think it's a lot of fun, a really good movie. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, the special effects of those, when they were drying out, that's what freaked me out. When the guy's on the table and he's about to do the autopsy, and then he starts moving, I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's freaking me out.
Yep.
All right, so we got about 5 minutes till our 30 minutes are up. You can join us. If you drop off, join us for the final 15 on our streaming part. We'll go off live and click on our podcast and hear the last 15 minutes recorded. So, Jonathan, what are your thoughts? Have you seen it? What?
I'm sorry, you kind of, like, I'm hearing like a little static. I can hear what you just said.
Yeah, I hear
Hello?
It too. Yes.
Yeah. What were you saying, Alfred?
Did you see Life Force?
I did not. I own it on VHS. I found it on a I found it at a video store back in the day, but I've never actually seen it. I should probably watch it. Eventually I will. I got it at the same time that I got Invasion from Mars, which I think is also a
nice
canon film.
You
know?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Invasion from Mars is.
Yeah, so that I got those, but I have not watched them because I have a VHS player, but just don't have it hooked up. So I need to eventually watch it. But I've heard great things, and Tobe Hooper directed maybe both of them. I know he directed at least Life Force. So
he did. He did direct Invaders from Mars too.
Okay, so cool.
The Invaders from Mars, I remember seeing that in the theater. They had Dollar Days at the Newmarket North Movie Theater, and you could go in the summer and see a movie for like $1. And it was weekday morning to 10 a.m. It was where moms dropped their kids off to their job. But let's see. What do you think? I think canon really impacted the film industry by making a whole bunch of movies. It kind of influenced, like today, the that static is really bad. By making, like, nowadays, people just producing stuff right to YouTube, and just people, like, going out and making their own stuff. I mean, but what are your thoughts on the impact of the entertainment industry? It definitely stole VHS and Reynolds and stuff. So I'll throw it out to you, John. What do you think?
Well, it definitely, I'd say that the canon way of making movies, it definitely had a huge impact on just, like, how quick and how, like, because that's the thing about canon, is they were putting out, like, what, 15, 20 movies a year or something like that. Like, there was an insane amount. Like, they were just, like, they were just throwing them out like nobody's business. They were cranking out movies like crazy. And I think that that really sent a message, like, hey, you don't need big budgets. You don't need, you know, to take, like, you know, 2-3 years to film a film. You can whip this, you can crank this out in 6 months and have it ready by Christmas. Like, it's just, it was insane how they were able to do that. I think, you know, and Canon, I think, was a great outlet for a lot of people that were trying to get started. It was one of those where it gave everybody a shot. Like you said, like we said before, Chuck Norris hedged his bets with them and basically did almost everything that he put out in the 80s was through them. So they definitely were a source for allowing just about anybody to be able to make a film. Like, they made it seem easy. There was like, hey, look, we're doing it. Now, granted, we didn't know behind the scenes that, you know, basically they were overextending themselves and they were writing checks that they technically couldn't cash. And, of course, when the House of Cards finally fell, I think that was a great lesson as well. Because that showed that, you know, the sustainability of that kind of model just was not a reality. It seemed like it seemed great at first. Like, you know, in the '80s, they were burning up the charts, like movie after movie after movie, you know, in varying, you know, types of quality. But at the end of it all, when the, you know, when it folded, I think it was a great lesson to everybody out there. It's like, look, this is, it looked good at first, but this is what happens when you try to do it this way.
Right.
So I think those are the main, that's the main impact I think that Canon has had. But at the same time, like, Canon also made movies for almost like the layperson. You know, Canon films were for films for everybody. Like, it was just like you said, they're great popcorn flicks. When you want, you know, when school was out at, like, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, and, you know, you got home and your parents were like, "Hey, let's go rent a movie, man." You were like, Canon films, man. That was where it was at. When you put on cable, you know, like, if you had just regular network television, or if you had like HBO or something, 9 times out of 10, you were watching a Canon film. Like, it's like they were everywhere. Like, you were inundated. Like, it took over 80s mentality like a swarm of locusts.
Right.
And we were, and in a lot of ways we were better for it. In a lot of ways we were worse for it, because, like I said, it really toppled the economy of filmmaking by the end there. So, yeah, I think it's where I'm going to end my point. Is that's where, okay, I think Canon has really, that's where their influence lies.
Hmm. Well, cool. We've covered a lot of ground. I was going to say, I'm going to throw out, like, if I thought of like 5 movies to introduce some of the Canon films, what would they be? And I'm thinking probably Missing in Action, Life Force, Revenge of the Ninja, American Ninja, and probably Kickboxer. I mean, you get kind of like a good swath of movies. I mean, even though I didn't see Kickboxer until later, that's kind of an iconic Canon film as well. What would your 5-ish movies be that you would recommend to somebody? Hey, I've never seen Canon films. What would you recommend?
Me or Jonathan?
Donnie, because I might copy some of yours.
Well, if you want to give up like 5 films, you want to give them a good sample of everything that Canon has to offer. So I would say definitely. Hang on a second. I gotta look them up real quick. I would either say American Ninja, or not Revenge of the Ninja, the first one. Crap.
Enter the Ninja.
I would either say American Ninja or Enter the Ninja. Basically, to give them an example of the ninja aspect of what Canon offered. For sci-fi / horror, definitely Life Force. To give them a sample of Chuck Norris, I would say probably either Missing in Action or Invasion USA. So that's 3. And then I would say probably for a more straight up action flick, I would say Cobra. I think Cobra is a good one to show them. Basically to kind of round it off, to give them something a little bit different, I would probably give them Breakin' or Breakin' 2, just so that they can kind of see, because you kind of want to give them a taste of everything. I think that covers a little bit of everything that Canon does. You want to do the music stuff. You want to do the action stuff. You want to show, hey, this is Chuck Norris in his prime, and then you want to do, hey, ninjas. So it's like those are the key ingredients for a Canon film. And then if we have time, I'd be like, look, Masters of the Universe, let's throw that in there just as a bonus. But I think the 5 that I mentioned, I think I'll go with Invasion USA over Mission Missing in Action, because I think Invasion USA is just so much more fun, because he's got a freaking Bronco, and he's got like Uzis, and he's like, what the hell, man? So, and then I got Breakin. So, yeah, Breakin, Invasion USA, Life Force, Cobra, and I'll say American Ninja, because I think that one's more fun of the two.
Good choices, man. I really like that. Awesome, dude.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
So for me, okay, for me, I would go with I'm trying not to do the same ones you did, Donnie. So I'm going to mention more so that more people would check out the ones that that we're thinking of. So I would go for, if you want to see a good, because I just watched this the other day, the Delta Force was amazing. Action just packed, just and sound awesome. Like, it's just a great Blu-ray, honestly, which I did not expect. I expected it to be like basically DVD quality, but it was pretty good. Then, if you want to use the, what's funny is, like, there's the Last American Virgin, so if you want to do a comedy and check them out, that was one of the big hits that started Company 2 as well. Horror, I would go with, and this is going to sound kind of weird, but I would say Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Sure.
That was a big hit for them, actually. It didn't do as well because people were expecting Texas Chainsaw, you know, and they got kind of comedy version of that. But I don't think even, Cannon was expecting more humor than, you know, as much humor as they got. And then I would say, I would go with, I'm kind of thinking of all the ones that you might not have mentioned that are so great. I know they I don't know if they put out Barfly, but I freaking love that movie. But it doesn't fit the canon mold. It's actually a good movie, like a good movie, you know. So maybe it wasn't, like, it was just produced by them. Over the Top, as I mentioned before, I really love that movie. So Cobra, which is a great one, and I would have to go with Bloodsport as well. So which is my, like, was one of the first movies that I'd ever seen of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's a good one. Good choice.
What about you, Alfred?
I would probably go with my favorites are Revenge of the Ninja, Missing in Action, Light Force. Let's go throw American Ninja in there too, do the two ninja ones. And Firewalker is just a good one to see a different perspective of Chuck Norris. It's kind of adventure, comedy. And I think I would go with those. And I think we would put them all into the Hollywood Boulevard podcast, top 15 canon films to see, which is your, most kids get their reading list for the summer. You, our listeners, have a movie. A movie list challenge to watch this summer, the 15 canon films we recommended. And we're getting close to our ending time, so I'm going to say thank you so much for being a part of the show. If you have any further questions, email us at Hollywood Boulevard Podcast or private message us on our Facebook page. And the questions I didn't get to today were, if canon could do a movie today, what would you want it to be? And what would XXXYYY movie be today if canon made it? But you have to use your imagination for that. Maybe share that with us on our site. And you can reach me, Alpha Crane, at The Video Alternative or The Video Alternative 2 on Facebook, or Alpha Crane on Facebook. And I'll turn over to Jonathan and Donnie, our host and co-host, and I want to thank them so much for allowing me to to host tonight's show on the Canon Group, which is definitely a group of films and producers who changed my cinema going life.
All right, you go next, Donnie.
What am I doing?
Just say I'll be over to you.
Oh, you can catch me on Facebook for the most part. And you can still catch me through my Baby Skeletor Instagram. I'm still in the process of trying to, or actually not trying, I'm getting off my lazy butt and actually creating my own personal Instagram. I do have a Twitter, Donnie Sturges, I believe. And I don't use it all that often, but if you contact me through there, I will answer. So that's pretty much it for me.
Thanks, Donnie.
All right.
Mr. Moody.
You can reach me at Jonathan Moody on Twitter, at Jonathan A. Moody Filmmaker on Facebook, and I think it's Jonathan A. Moody Film on Instagram. So check those out. I've also got a website called SixClickProductions.com, which has which will have Hollywood Boulevard podcast on there, as well as showing off the podcast stuff that I do. And it's also part of a SixClick podcast network. At some point, once Indie Popcorn, we're done with that. So I want to appreciate, saying thanks to everybody and thanks to Alfred for doing this. Also,
Alfred.
That they did a movie? Did you guys know that they did a movie called Rappin'?
Yes.
After
it was a sequel
Breakin'.
To Electric Boogaloo.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And XCon and Breakdancer helped save a neighborhood from a greedy developer while trying to win a rap contest. How awesome is that? I want to see that now. Really
badass.
That sounds great. And it's got like Mario Van Peebles in it. I mean, and Melvin. Oh, wait, not Melvin Van Peebles, but Melvin Plowden. But anyway, definitely something I want to check out. The guy's name is John Hood. That just sounds awesome.
Who's what?
Well, the character's name that Martin Van Peebles plays is John Hood.
Yeah.
Really. He's like Robin Hood. I don't know. But there you go. But thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed this show tonight. Check us next week. I guess we only have like 2 episodes left, and then we're gonna take a break for the summer. So, and we'll be back in the fall and a premium service. So we'll be longer if we, and we'll have things worked out on that. We'll let you guys know more about that when it happens. But yeah, that's it.
What's next week's show?
What is next week's show? I think it's I think we're gonna be talking The Last Starfighter next week.
Oh, awesome, dude.
Yeah,
is
Donnie,
that next
Donnie's
week? I think
the last. Yeah, I think next week's The Last Starfighter, and then the last episode is the Quentin Tarantino show.
All right, I thought it was the other way around.
No, because
you might
we're
be
doing
right.
Alfred, you, Alfred again. So
there
you go. So,
all
right. So
should
get ready for that.
A bonus going for Solo. It'd be fun to talk Solo before this is over.
Maybe when we come back, we can do a Star Wars thing and talk about Solo a little bit. But I think that'll throw us all off doing an extra one. All
right.
And I still haven't seen it, so I'll have to. By then, I will have seen it by the fall.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Yep, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Later, everybody.